بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Continuing on the topic of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Wallahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, Walladhina idha fa'alu fahishatan wa aw zalamu anfusahum, Dhakarullaha fastaghfaru li dhunubihim, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُسِيرُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, and Allah loves the virtuous, He loves the muhsineen, He loves those people who do kindness, and those who, when they commit an indecent act or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins, do istighfar. And who forgives sins except Allah? And those who do not persist in what they have committed while they know. And Imam Ali alayhi salam in a hadith says, Alaykum fi shahr Ramadan bi kathratil istighfar wa du'a fa amma du'a فَيُدْفَعُ بِهِ أَنْكُمَ الْبَلَاءُ وَأَمَا الْإِسْتِغْفَارُ فَيَمْحَى ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I adjure you, I warn you that in this month of Ramadan that you should do lots of asking for forgiveness and dua. And he said, with respect to dua, it removes from you bala, it removes from you catastrophe. And with respect to istighfar, or for asking for forgiveness, it erases your sins. Istighfar comes from the word ghafara. And the word ghafara means to cover or to hide. And one of the divine names of Allah is Al-Ghafoor, the one who always, as you translated into English, the one who always forgives. But basically it means the one who always covers over our sins, the one who prevents our sins from their consequences by covering them. And this is exactly what Allah does when He forgives us. He covers our faults, that is, those sins and crimes that we are forbidden to do. He covers these from others. In this covering, Allah preserves us from the punishment. And in this month of Ramadan, this power of Allah that is rooted in Himself is intense, is greater than at many other times in the year. This act of ghufran, this act of covering or forgiveness, means that Allah blocks this crime from the eyes of observers, and especially He blocks this from the recording angels that are recording each and every one of our deeds. And this is reflected in a quotation by Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, إِذَا تَابَ الْعَبْدُ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ فَسَتَرَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَقُلْتَ وَكَيْفَ يَسْتُرُ عَلَيْهِ Qala yunsi malakaihi ma kataba alayhi min al-dhunub wa yuhi ila jawarihi uktumi alayhi dhunuba wa yuhi ila baqa'il ard uktumi ma kana ya'malu alayki min dhunub wa yalqa Allahu hina yalqahu wa laysa shay'un yashhadu alayhi min al-dhunub. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam says, when the servant does a sincere repentance. Now the word we use for repentance, the word we use it in English is repent, it's to repent. But I think the word repent does not adequately cover the real meaning of the word here in the Arabic. Repentance comes from, is the word tawbah, it comes from the word taba, which means to turn towards. To turn towards. When a person feel sorry for their sins, and they turn back towards Allah. It means that in your sin you turned away from Allah. It means that when you were doing wrong, you did not think of being in the presence of Allah. So you turned away from Him. So tawbah means basically turning back to Allah, turning towards Allah. We use the word repentance, but for example, in English, the English understanding of repentance is basically something no more than confessing your sins. Oh, I repent. I'm sorry I did what I did. This is repent. But tawbah implies this act for a purpose. For a purpose. And this purpose is to turn back to Allah. This is the purpose. To turn back to Him. And to be in His good books. And to be in His favor. He says, when a servant does a sincere repentance, not any kind of repentance, not I'm sorry and that's it, not I'm sorry because, you know, this is what I'm expected to do, and Allah would be pleased with me because I'm sorry for it, but I don't really mean it. And a person does a sincere repentance. Allah loves him. That person becomes beloved of Allah. So Allah covers his sins from this world and the hereafter. And the Imam was asked, how does Allah cover this sin? What do we mean by Allah covering this sin? And the Imam replies, He causes the two angels that record His deeds to forget His sins. He causes them to forget. And He inspires His limbs to hide His sins. And inspires the patch of ground on which He did His sins to hide what sins He committed on it. In that space, in that place where you did that sin, He inspires that place to forget it, to hide it, and when he meets his God, there is nothing to bear witness against him of his sins. Now let's expand on this a little bit. When we, you know, in physics and in chemistry and so on, they say energy is neither created nor destroyed. In physics, they say this. Okay, the sum total of the energy in this universe is the same. That no new energy comes in, and energy cannot go out. We expand this a little bit to the realm of actions. What is actions? What are actions? Are actions energy in themselves? Or are actions the expressions or the result of energy put into a behavior? From an Islamic point of view, we have the view that actions themselves are a kind of energy, are a kind of existence. But it is something that we bring into existence by our choice, by our volition. We bring these things into existence. But these actions are things that exist. And they exist as objective forms. But we are unable to see them in this physical world because actions are not physical. Actions are the result of physical actions, but they are not physical things. Okay? These actions exist in a realm. They are part of this world and also are essential elements of the other world. In a sense, these actions are like waves, are like emanations, are like vibrations that infuse or penetrate those things around it, upon which it is enacted, and from which it is enacted. So when you make your limbs do something, those limbs are conscious of that action. From an Islamic point of view, everything in creation has a consciousness. Everything in creation has a consciousness. It is just that there are different hierarchies of consciousness. There are some things that can speak and can interact with you, and there are some things that cannot, but they have a consciousness. For example, we hear that in the time of the coming, the return of Imam Al-Zaman, may Allah hasten his return, we hear that when he is fighting the enemies among the people of Israel, that stones will say, "Oh Imam, there's somebody hiding behind me here." And we know that among the Urafa, for example, they can hear the walls uttering tasbih, hear the walls of a masjid singing out their prayers to Allah. And Allah says that everything praises Him. We do not know their language. It is in the next world that these things manifest, these hidden realities manifest. They say that in the life to come, from the time of the barzakh to the time of going to heaven or going to hell, all the hidden things become manifest. All the hidden things in this world become manifest. And so in the day of judgment, for example, our limbs bear witness against us. The ground in which we, or the space in which we did a wrong deed, bears witness against us. Because this energy, this act that you carried out, has effects in the world, has ripples in the world. There's no action that you do that does not have an effect. Every action is the cause of an effect. And those things that are recipient of positive effects would testify positively for you on the day of judgment, and those things that are negative in their effect testify against you with respect to what you have done. Indeed, you have on a much lower level, we have this phenomenon in science we call muscle memory, that your muscles remember trauma that you have gone through. And one of the ways of helping people overcome trauma, like for example, rape or seeing murder and so forth and so on, has to do with ways of relaxing a muscle and getting that out of its system. This is muscle memory. Sometimes we become so used to carrying out a particular act that sometimes we do not even think about our bodies voluntarily carrying out this act. You know, for example, you know, you have in karate and many of these martial arts, they're what you call katas, okay? Where you are constantly practicing moves and so on. What are these for? These are for the fact that when you are involved in a competition or in a conflict, that you react instinctively. Your body knows exactly what to do. You don't even think about it. You didn't even put your mind to it. Your body already knows what it will do. And this is on a lower level. What Islam is saying is, on a higher level, your body can testify against you. Your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your hands, and the very ground or building that you are in can testify against you. We know, for example, places where horrible crimes have been committed are places that, as we would say, give off a bad vibe when a person goes to live or stay in that particular place. And a place where people are happy, it gives off a good vibe to people who inhabit that particular place. What does this indicate? This indicates that there is a subtle reality that we are living in. What this hadith is saying is that the action of forgiveness, the action of forgiveness is the blocking or the covering of the effects of these actions in the environment in which it was perpetrated, or by the limbs by which it was done. And this is very important, because if it is not covered, if these actions are allowed to have their effect, the repercussions of that effect is what we call hell. Hellfire is something that we produce. Hellfire is something that we produce. The consequences of our actions, the negative consequences, are what we call hell. You know, some people ask the question, if God is such a merciful God, why would God put a person in hell forever? It is only in an indirect sense that God puts a person in hell forever. Just as, for example, we say that God takes somebody's life, even that person's life is destroyed by cancer or by getting shot or something. We say God takes his life because God puts into effect the cause and effect, the consequential aspect of actions, of events in the world. Similarly, yes, God puts you in hell, but in a more direct sense, you put yourself in hell. You put yourself in hell by living a life that is hellish. And that life that is hellish to you right now is invisible to you. But when you die and you wake up, you are reborn in the world that you made for yourself. It is the same thing as heaven. So what this hadith is talking about here is actually blocking this consequential result upon you. And this is what we call forgiveness. So this is one of the most beautiful names of Allah. The name Al-Ghafur. From the point of view of many of the great urafa, they say that forgiveness has three levels. Forgiveness has three stages or three states. The first and the most basic state, which is what most of us would tend to benefit from, is covering from the punishment after the ruling of it being a sin. We are covered from that punishment, as I explained before, covered from that punishment by virtue of the fact that Allah does not allow the effect of that sin to be consequential upon us by its effect upon its environment. And that means that that person is forgiven of that sin. And that person is maghfur. That person is forgiven. A higher level is covering that person from disobedience rising in that person to do that sin again. And that is the station of him being mahfuz, him being protected. That when you do this sin and you ask forgiveness for this sin, after you're forgiven of this sin, you are not able to do this sin again. This is the next level. Sometimes we ask for forgiveness for our sin. It is profound and it is deep. And we are forgiven of that sin. But we are unable, because of our weakness of our will, to reach the level of mahfuz, to reach the level of a person who is protected from committing that sin again. And the third and highest level, which is a level that characterizes the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, is being overcome and drowned, as the urafa say, in the waves of the divine attributes and the light of the divine essence, so that disobedience on a whole is absent from that person, and that person is ma'soom, that person is completely immune from practicing sin. Now, they talk about the divine essence and divine attributes and so forth. What relationship does that have to do with us committing a sin? We are taught that all things in creation are the signs of Allah. And why are they the signs of Allah? They are signs of Allah because they express the divine presence on different levels. And the great Urafa and philosophers have said that this expression of the divine presence is because they express the divine names of Allah in themselves within creation, on a limited level within creation. So a rose, for example, a flower, would express the divine name of beauty, the beautiful, but it would not express the divine name Al-Qadim, the ancient, for example, because a flower is very flimsy, or it would not express the divine name of Alim, the knower. And a mountain might express the divine name Al-Jabbar, the overwhelming, but it does not express the divine name Ar-Rahman, the beneficent. And so all things manifest one or other of the divine names, or maybe a combination of them, of the divine names in creation. The only creature that potentially is a sum total of the divine names in creation is the human being. And this is what we call the breath of Allah in the human being. The human being is ahsanul of creation, the most beautiful of creation, the most complete of creation. Nevertheless, our manifestations of names like the Al-Adil or Al-Adl, or the Merciful and so forth, or the Just and so on, these are based upon our not realization of them in ourselves. We are not actualizing them in ourselves. So one example of a non-actualization of the name is one description of Fir'aun, where they say Fir'aun represented the name Al-Jabbar, but he did not represent or manifest or actualize the name Ar-Rahman. And so Fir'aun was a tyrant. He did not have the mercy in him that was actualized. This then refers to the fact that because of our limitations from our own potential, we are able to commit sins. And because the imams, because these chosen members of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, are insan al-kamil, perfect human beings, in which all of these divine names in themselves have been actualized, are in balance with each other, then these people do not have any deficiencies that would lead them to commit sin. And this is why they are ma'asum. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. So what is sin? Sin is the expression of our own limitations. And I will get back to it, because there is something good about sin. Yeah, there's something good about sin. And I'll get back to that. But to do istighfar, to ask for forgiveness, is to ask Allah for something that one must first be aware of. You have to be aware that you're committing a sin. If you're not aware that you're committing a sin, you cannot ask for forgiveness. Then one has to be averse to that sin. There are people who are aware that they are doing wrong, but they are not averse to doing wrong. They're not disliking of that wrong. You have to be averse to it. And then you have to do istighfar. Then you have to ask forgiveness for that sin. And after that, resolve not to do it again. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a very popular hadith, is reported to have said, "At-tawbatu ala arbatin da'im." tawbah or repentance or turning back to Allah has four pillars, stands on four pillars. Nadmun bil qalb, remorse with the heart. You have to hate it in your heart. Wa istighfaru bil lisan, asking forgiveness, asking istighfar with the tongue. Wa ilmun bil jawarih, and acting with the limbs. Wa azmun an la ya'ud, and determination that you will not go back to it. Now, when you look at these, first of all, it begins with an internal state. It begins with an internal state. And that internal state is an aversion to that sin that you committed. How is that achieved? This is achieved by our intellect. It is said that the most important aspect of the intellect is to be able to distinguish between good and bad, right and wrong. And the most fundamental agent that would aid the intellect in doing so is our very selves. That if you do something, or if something is done against you that causes pain and anguish and distress, you know this is wrong. And it doesn't necessarily mean against another human being. It could also mean against some other thing. Like an animal, like a bird, like a plant or a tree. You know you don't like your life to be taken unjustly, so you would not like something to take something else's life. Yourself is based upon this, and therefore your own intellect is going to witness against you. Some people say, well, if we didn't have a prophet, if a person didn't have a prophet, how are they going to be judged on the day of judgment? They will be judged on the basis of their own intellect. Because in Islam, we say your inner prophet is your intellect. Asking forgiveness from the tongue. From the Islamic point of view, all reality, all things begin from the batin or the inward and move to the outward. But we also have the path of the outward to the inward. If you continue praying outwardly, inshallah, you would be able to have an effect upon your soul. And so this aversion to the sin moves outward, and it is expressed on the tongue. It is expressed on the tongue to Allah. Oh Allah, I did X, I did Y, I hurt this one, I didn't hear this one, I was arrogant in this, I was disobedient in that, forgive me because of this. But if you say in istighfar, and you're not sorry for anything, it's a joke, brothers and sisters. It's a big joke, okay? You have to be sorry, and you have to turn towards Allah. You have to desire to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you work with the limbs. You work with the limbs, meaning that you try to correct that mistake or problem that you created. You try to rectify that hurt that you had done. You do not hurt somebody and then you go to Allah for istighfar and then you walk out your house and you see that person you hurt every day and you don't say anything and you think, oh, Allah forgive me, so that's cool. You know, I'm all right. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to work with your limbs to correct what you have done. And then you have to resolve not to do the offense. Now, in terms of this particular aspect of tawbah, where tawbah has these four pillars, then we could look at the hypocrisy of Western society when they say that they utter a repentance or remorse for killing out the Indians in the United States, for oppressing the Aborigines in Australia, for slavery for 400 years in America and the Caribbean and so forth. It is a hypocrisy because they are only asking forgiveness with their tongue. They do not work with their limbs. Have you heard of them trying to make any recompense with the Aborigines in Australia? Have you heard of them trying to make any recompense with the American Indian in America? Have you heard of them ever trying to give recompense to the ex-slaves of America and the Caribbean? No. Have you heard of them say, I'm sorry, Vietnam, for bombing you? Yes. But have you heard of them saying you'll try to clean up the effects of Agent Orange? No. So this indicates to us that these people are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. They do not mean what they say. And therefore, we as those people who are the ones who are the ones who support Adler, who support justice in society, we should be in the forefront of demanding that they make recompense to all those people they have oppressed and all those people they have bothered. Look at what they did in Nazi Germany. They talk so much about killing all these millions of people. But at the same time, in Bosnia-Herzegovina, they turned away from the Serbs, putting Muslims in concentration camps and massacring Muslims. And they say, as they say all the time, never again. What they mean is never again for us Christian Europeans. But with respect to Muslims, it's a different story. So we should be able to call these people up on their hypocrisy. But first of all, we should be not hypocrites ourselves. That we should be sincere about our collective sins as groups, as peoples. And we should be also be non-hypocritical in terms of our own individual acts of oppression against people. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allah tawbatan nasuhan. He says, O you who believe, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance, or turn to Allah with a sincere turning. And this sincerity is this. This is sincerity is trying to make up for the trouble that you created for people and the trouble you created for yourself. For the trouble you've created as a people and the trouble you created as an individual. To seek out those people you have oppressed and hurt and ask them for forgiveness and try to make up to them. And to look at yourself and say, I'd never do this again. And not only this, but to do Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Al-Munkar. To prevent other people from doing those things that you yourself had done, that you had been sorry for. Somebody asked Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam about sincere repentance. He said, "Ayyakuna al-batin kadhahir wa afdalu min dhalik." He said, it is when the inner self becomes identical with the outer self and even better than it. In other words, it begins on the inside. It begins on the inside. And that inside manifests itself in a change in the outward aspect of the person. It manifests itself in a change in their behavior, a change in their attitude. And this is when you are better than it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa khalasa. و خلاصه برنامه استغفار الان صحبت میکردیم در رابطه با اخلاص در توبه. توبه بدون اخلاص توبه نیست و اخلاص این است که از دارون ما یک نوع کراهت پیدا کنیم در رابطه با اون عمل کبیح که ما انجام دادیم. بعد از آن ما اظهارش میکنیم با لسان. در اینجا معنای استغفار است، اظهار کردنش با لسان. و بعد از آن طبق حدیث امام علی علیه السلام، اصلاح کردن با جوارح، اصلاح کردن با اجزای بدن، یعنی اصلاح کردن این اشتباهی که ما انجام دادیم و بعد از اون عزم کنیم تصمیم بگیریم که دوباره تجربه نداشته باشه، دوباره تکرارش نکنیم. یه حدیثی از امام جعفر صادق علیه السلام در رابطه با معنای اصلی استغفار که معنای پوشیدن هست، گفتن که خدا خدا میگذاره که ملائکه که کاتب هستند گناهان ما وحی میکنند که آنها فراموشش کنند و ابزار بدن ما هم از اون گناه میپوشد و هم اون مکانی که این گناه انجام داریم هم میپوشاند. معنا چیه؟ معنا این است که اعمال ما یه نوع انرژی است که ادامه میدهد، که اثر میگذارد بر محیط ما، که اون محیطی که مثل همه چیز که هوش دارند، آگاهی دارند، اما ما نمیدونیم، در روز قیامت بر علیه ما شهادت میکنند و خداوند این رو میپوشاند که آنها نمیتونن بر علیه ما شهادت کنند. و این معنای اصلی جهنم است، که جهنم آن چیزی که خودمون آن رو میساختیم، میسازیم برای آخرت ما، که وقتی که ما بیدار میشیم در حالت موت، در حالت مردن، ما میتونیم این حقیقت رو ببینیم. طبق اون اقسام توبه که امام فرمودن، میتونیم ببینیم که توبه غرب در رابطه با ظلم که انجام دارن بر سرخپوستی ها، بر سیاه‌پوستان استرالیایی، بر سیاه‌پوستان آمریکایی و بر جاهای مختلف در این دنیا حرف خالی است، به خاطر این که آنها هیچ وقت سعی نکردند که اصلاحش کنند. هیچ وقت به سرخپوستی‌ها نمی‌گفتند که مثلا ما کمکتون می‌کنم که شما بهتر باشید تو این جمعیت، اوضاع شما بهتر بشه و اینا. به خاطر اون ما مسلمانان ما حق داریم که به آنها انتقاد کنیم، چون که ما باید اهل حق باشیم. اما قبل از انجام دادن آن باید بر علیه خودمون منافق نشیم. امام الهادی علیه السلام در رابطه با استغفار گفتن که استغفار یه حالتی است که درونی ما مثل بیرونی ماست، که مثل ظاهر ماست، حتی افضل است، افضل از ظاهر ماست. یعنی توبه، استغفار از درون شروع می کند و بیرون تجلی می کند در اعمال ما، در حرف های ما، در طرح ذهنی ما. اینجوری مثلا ما میتونیم بگیم که استغفار واقعی است. الحمدلله ما به پایان سخنرانی امروز رسیدیم. انشاءالله امیدوارم که این روز ماه مبارک رمضان روزی شما قبول بشه و این روز بهتر از دیروز میشه. و انشاءالله امشب شب قدر هست. انشاءالله به امیدوارم که استغفار شما قبول بشه و ما نزدیکتر به خدا برسیم. السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته.